your statute is, I think it's 1-360. Donna, you remember the
Bateman? I know, but I do know we were written up by the state auditor for not doing our, you know, how we are right now currently making adjustments to personal property that's unpaid. And we, if we don't present it to you monthly to have you approve it, then they write us up. It's a similar situation. They still require that you guys approve us taking it off, even
the
though
same
the law
manner.
Tells us to do.
I'm so sorry, Donna. It's done in the same manner as 137-260, the abatement statute. It's to be entered into record as a vote and approved by the commission. In 147.30.3, it says the collector takes from doing this in the same manner as real removed under 137.260.
I probably won't have any problem approving it, or I could make a motion to approve it. I'd like to look them over in an entirety. I don't know whether it's presented to the county commission for us to review, and the presentation's made to us. But I don't think that.
Isn't it normally like 2,000 or 3,000 pages? It's usually about that thick, isn't it?
Well, that's the reason, you know, I ask if you guys wanted me to.
Right.
It's right here.
Right.
So that's not as bad as typical past years, then. That's not as bad as it's been in the past.
About the same. The dollar amount's about the same.
Dollar amount's about the same. Yeah, $96,000 to schools.
That's what I saw.
$116,000 total.
Yeah, 80% is your schools.
Uh-huh. Excuse me, $94,316 the schools are not getting.
And I was actually questioned by one of the schools why I was still showing it on my books. They thought there was a three. When I sent them the report.
Because it was from 4 years ago instead of. Mm-hmm. Danny, the clerk of the county commission shall immediately correct the tax book under any order which may be made by the commission pursuant of 137.270. Are you wanting to look at those individually, or you want to look at the statutes on how to proceed, Danny?
No, I was just going to look at them individually, but these have been presented before. And when we had the extremely large amounts, we approved this on a day, not the day it was presented, but a day later or two. I mean, I think it was at the next commission meeting.
I don't think it would take more than 10 minutes to flip through those and see what it is so we could move forward, because she is getting crunch time on March 1st.
And that's the reason I sent them to you, so you'd have them to go over if you wanted to do that individually. But
so March 1st is your due date on this to have it in?
I'm working on the year-end settlement. And there's, you know, like the three pages. When you balance, we balance those out, and then you have to break those out to each entity in the category as to how we're going to handle them.
Okay.
And then.
You just maybe pass them down as you look through them, and then everybody can look through them.
You email this same ones you emailed to us, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You've already looked at it, right, Ben?
And I did offer to print them and bring them up.
Right. Yeah,
but
there's no sense in.
And Danny, in this, the problem is even if you find one, there legally there's no
recourse for it. I understand that.
Uh-huh. And if you look through those, it's mostly individuals, and you'll see they move out, and you'll see the reason. I think probably Branson School would be the most to lose. Of course, they're uncollectible anyway, but my eyes aren't good today.
They're basically uncollectible because we don't hire an attorney to pursue them because the cost of the attorney is more than the bill individually. Is that what we're saying?
We go, the businesses we go after, we send notices and everything, which 2012 is also out of the three-year time limit. 2013, we send out last month, we sent out a business delinquent with a letter stating that legal proceedings could be followed if they were not paid and so forth. And because statutorily to follow that, when you have to send out that notice, and it has to be stated in a certain way that qualifies that if an attorney wanted to go forth and legally to pursue it, then they had been informed and everything. The 2013 delinquents have been sent that notice so that we've got this season, this year, to try to get those. The response that, but once again, that's just on the business. The individual are just handled through the License Bureau when they try to get tags. If they're going to license a vehicle in the state of Missouri, they have to have a paid tax receipt. But if they come in here and they fill out an assessment form and get charged, license the vehicle, and then they leave out of state, you have no recourse. Mm-hmm. If they come back in state within that three-year time limit, you go back and we run into that, and you can, you know, force collect payment of it. The interest on the 2011 now, oh gosh, I should have figured that, is probably, well, the interest is more than the bill in most cases. It is,
as the county commission discussed this and as we're talking about it,
the interest is 90% and 7% penalty.
As we as a county commission look at this, it's every year I bring up the same thing because it's hard to meet for me to look at a personal tax forgiveness of 116, and this is the least amount. It's been in several years. But this is 116,000.
112 right now is less than this one.
12 is? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking about in the past as you give them to us, mm-hmm. and they've been much, much more. It's just hard for us to say we're forgiven, even though I know there's nothing we can do about it. It's hard for me to make a statement of forgiveness for taxes that are due because it doesn't affect the county like it does every entity in the county.
This is a problem throughout the whole state of Missouri. And back many years ago, I kind of did a little survey, and Platte County told me that, she said, well, you're doing, not me doing good, but just that that theirs is greater than that. Of course, they have more people, too. But the only county I know that has a legal counselor is Clay County. Clay County has some kind of a legal
department that handles
person
it.
That, and I don't know, Jackson's a charter, I don't know what they do, but Clay is the only one when you send out responses and stuff, and it's...
Brenda, did you find where we need to pass it today? If you feel so, well...
No, I think what we need, and Donna talked to me a little bit about it, the concern was the fact that we didn't have on the record showing we reviewed it.
We were written up by the auditor for not reviewing
whenever
the collector had brought it forward. But you have clearly reviewed it today.
I say, yeah, we did review it. We just didn't. Okay. So I would move to.
It in the minutes.
Well, Donna, before they would have it in their office for 2 weeks at a time. So how could they write them up for not reviewing?
Because we didn't have the minutes reflect.
I'm sorry, why?
Donna said it. I'm sorry.
What?
The minutes did not reflect. In other words, if they make a mistake, a statement we've just reviewed.
Right.
That's in the minutes.
So I would move to accept the 2011 delinquent personal property presented by the collector and let the record reflect that we reviewed it.
You said accept. I would move, so are you wanting me to second? I'll second the motion then.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
May I ask, is that the same language that you would use in 137-260 when you do an abatement?
But that's all erroneous. I mean, reading
okay.
that.
Okay. As long as it is, because that's the only thing. Pardon?
It just says under an order which may be made by the commission pursuant to section 137.270. So then you go to .270 and it says we may hear and determine allegations of erroneous assessment. So these aren't allegations of erroneous assessment. So I don't. But like Donna said, we're covered, and you're covered.
Okay. I just knew the statute said the same as.
And then did you read that?
Pardon?
It's not an erroneous assessment, is what he's saying, Sheila.
Yeah. Okay.
Because then it goes to 137.270, and then it starts talking about it being erroneous assessment, commission before taxes are paid, that shows it's been assessed twice the same year. If they didn't attend the County Board of Equalization for the purpose of correcting the errors or defects or mistakes, so it has nothing to do with any of those. Mike, have you called out yet?
Oh, I thought I did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I didn't hear. Sorry. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. You want these back, Sheila? I've got my email.
If you
want to
keep those, I've got them registered.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can have these. I can have these. Okay.
I have MoDOT monthly update. Is that...
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Statutes make me feel a little bit better when I can't understand our planning process within MoDOT, so it's, the whole thing gets confusing. I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on the local side about some topics we've had going on and some requests that you had made at the last session. Specifically, the presiding commissioner had asked for an analysis of the junction of 160 and 76 out here just to the east of Forsyth. We did study that in 2012. And so we didn't feel there was another need for an additional study because at that point it recognized that there was enough traffic flow at the intersection to meet what we would call a signal warrant. We don't have a study that specifically addresses a roundabout at that point. We just have a volume study that says, yes, you've got enough congestion here or you've got enough safety issues here that we need a signal in the future. And in your case, it would have been based on congestion numbers. I don't think there was a safety issue at the intersection. And actually, our evaluating engineer did note that this location would be a good candidate for a roundabout in the future when funding became available. So, and I also have heard, I know you all have been talking to your state representatives because they've been talking to me. I've heard from Representative Rowland and Representative Phillips. And I believe Senator Sater's office had contacted me about some other issues, and I think that was included in their request, too. On the legislative side, I'm not sure what the status is, but I do know they have been, the House has been looking at some type of cost share program that would be taken out of general revenue. Not sure about any of the numbers on that, where that will go. I did read some articles that said that the governor was not in favor of that because he was concerned about where the money was coming from to support the program. So I just don't know what the future of that particular issue will be. I do know on the Senate side, they've been looking at a 1.5 cent gas tax, 3.5 cent diesel tax. That did pass out of committee, got voted out of committee. It has not gone to the floor of the Senate. And there is not a corresponding similar bill in the House. So I think that probably shows, some lack of interest on the House side for a gas tax this year. But I can't say for sure on that, but I just know that normally we have a corresponding bill if both sides are going to look at it. So that's where we're at there. Also, Kirbyville Schools had asked us to look at a safety concern in front of their schools. We are currently finishing up that report, should present to them sometime in the next few weeks, I would think. We had to wait till school got back in session, and then we have to analyze the data. But I do know that the initial, one of the first things we did was take some speed shots out at the school, and actually the people were going the speed limit, so that was a good sign. But we were also looking at whether they had enough left-turning traffic and then opposing traffic that left-turning traffic had to wait for to meet the conditions that we would normally recommend a left-turn lane. And so I know our traffic studies engineer is looking at that data right now, and I would expect him to present to the school in the next few weeks. Do you believe, let me check my calendar for the date, don't want to get it wrong. We should have a public meeting coming up on some bridges that we are looking at in eastern Taney County. Well, I apologize. I thought it would be there. It is. I've got a public meeting listed for March 3rd to look at the three bridges there on. They're replacing bridges over Kentucky Creek, Caney Creek, and Beaver Creek in that Route 125, Route, is that 76? I apologize, area there. We are looking to get comments from the public. I would say specifically we're looking for comments regarding road closure, how to keep things open, what the expectations will be of the public, and get some feedback from them. We have hired a consulting firm to start scoping these bridges, which means that they're just doing the preliminary engineering. The actual construction of the bridges is not in our five-year plan yet, but I know we will be recommending that to the commission. That process usually happens in the May time frame, and then in June they approve the final step. So I expect us to submit those bridges for recommendation for construction, I believe, in 2017. This all came about because of the need to, the commission in January decided not to do the 325 plan because we had more revenues come in last year than anticipated, so we were able to make our federal match. And so we have been populating our five-year plan starting in 2017 with additional bridge and overlay type work. And so as a result, we will recommend those bridges for construction in 2017.
Could you name those again?
Yeah, they're over, they gave the creek names, the Kentucky, Caney, and Beaver Creek. And it's there, that's a cluster of bridges. There's two bridges that are really close to each other on both sides of, I believe, Route W, and then there's a bridge that's just to the west of that, and they're all kind of right in that area. So we'll be looking at construction on all three, and we'll obviously have to coordinate that construction to try to keep it open to local traffic, and that's the main reason we're doing the public meeting, is to just get some feedback and see what the recommendations are. Traffic volumes aren't real high out there, but we looked at the road system out there, and, you know, it's typical of all the hills and hollows that we've got around here. There are not a whole lot of county roads that would be, you know, a good detour around the bridges. So we've got to work something out where we can kind of keep that open for the locals so that they can get access to them and have, obviously, emergency services and that type of thing. So we met last week in Jeff City. When I say we, all of the districts and their planning partners, which would have been the RPCs, which in your case was the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments, to talk about our financial forecast for the next few years. This is an annual meeting, to talk about safety concerns, to talk about where we thought the legislation is going on funding, just kind of general overview of what we think is coming up in the next year. And our director, our new director, Patrick McKenna, specifically talked about the fact that, you know, obviously we have dwindling resources, and he really urged the group, I think especially since it was people that partner with us, to make sure that we aren't infighting over the dwindling amount of revenue that we have, but we're all focused on the same goal, which is trying to get more revenue to improve the state's infrastructure. He emphasized that, you know, a bridge closure, maybe somebody in St. Louis doesn't really relate to a bridge closure up in northeast Missouri, but a bridge closure in northeast Missouri is just as important to them as it is to setting in traffic that's sitting still on, say, Loop 270 in St. Louis to that person. So he said you need to realize that all investors in our system, all consumers, have similar needs. They may be, you know, they have similar concerns. They may be different direct needs, but they all impact the economy and emergency services and our ability to function as a society. So he said we just need to focus on the fact that we need to improve our infrastructure. We talked about safety funds and the process that we go through to try to push those down through each division or district. And then they talked a little bit about the fact that those funds are very focused on, say, the two-foot shoulders with rumbles and then the high-friction surface treatment that we just put out at Saddlebrook last year and things like that that are cost-effective but still have quite a bit of bang for the buck. We talked about our bridges. That's a pretty impactful topic, so they seem to focus on that. I didn't realize this because we always talk about the state system, but we've got over 10,000 bridges on the state system, but we have over 14,000 bridges on the local and county system. So we have we've got 24,000, almost 24,500 bridges on the state system. And the same issues that we have are the same issues that you guys have. We've got a lot of things that are load posted. When we do an inspection, you know, that bridge is getting enough age on it, enough wear and tear that, you know, we don't close the bridge, but we have to load post it or we have to make it into a one-lane bridge, something like that. And we live with that. But that's not the condition that bridge was intended to be used for. That was not the condition that we want it to be in. We've got some bridges on our system that are actually posted to the point where we couldn't technically drive a snowplow across them, a loaded snowplow with salt. So obviously it's an issue. It provides restrictions to commerce and mobility. They showed a little video graphic of basically when we get a over-dimensioned, overweight request, which we're getting a large amount of those anymore with the wind farms up north and with different types of tanks and things that are manufactured down, say, maybe in the Springfield area. We get a lot of electric transformers that are very large coming out of Oklahoma and coming across the state, that type of thing. We had over 2,500 requests last year for over-dimensioned, overweight loads, and because of all of the either height, width, or load restrictions, a typical load may have to travel as, you know, at least double what the direct route would be. And they actually showed a graphic of somebody trying to come over on I-70, which you would think an interstate would be the ideal situation, and because of bridges that don't have enough clearance, because of bridges that still have load postings, even though the majority of traffic can use them, they had to actually take them off of the I-70 system, and you end up, you know, taking a route that should be 250 miles, and it ended up being like 450 miles. So it was a very impactful graphic, just because you don't think about what impact we have to commerce that way too. The other big thing that we're worried about is we have about 641 bridges that we consider to be critical, which means that they, when they've done a bridge inspection, they've rated them either a 3 and a 4, and that bridge scale goes down. When it's built new, a bridge is a 9, and as it slowly progresses and we have impacts to it, we slowly degrade that that rating. 3s and 4s are still open, but they're the ones that we're worried about. A 2 means that your bridge is closed. We do not keep a bridge open at a 2. So we've got 641 of those bridges, and most of them were built in the 50s and 60s. Most of our bridge system was built in the 50s and 60s. And so our state bridge engineer, even though we tend to repair about 100 bridges each year, and we tend to have about 100 bridges enter onto that list, so we seem to stay right at that 640 mark because we repair about 100, but then we move another 100 on. He's worried that we've got this cluster of bridges that were built in the 60s that are all reaching that 60-year mark. They were built to be 50 years old, that this 640 number could jump because of the age group. kind of like the baby boomers of bridges. It's like they're all the same age at the same time. So that was very impactful to the group. And then I believe you were talking about the county commissioners meeting last week. I believe our local programs administrator probably presented to you guys. He presented to our group about the new federal bill, and I believe that basically the BRO funding will stay at the same level. But we also talked about small urban or the STP funds that, like Branson, Hollister, and Forsyth, I believe, received some of those. Technically, we have not been required to fund that program because it's not in the federal bill, hasn't been for quite some time. We are still taking money out of what funds we receive from the feds, and we're funding that program. But there won't be an increase in that program because we're not even required to technically keep it in place. So the STP rule, which is what Forsyth, Branson, Hollister, it's my understanding that will probably stay at the same flat level it has for quite some time. Where we're going to see a little bit of a bump, I've got the numbers here, we're going to see a little bit of a bump on the federal side because of the five-year FAST Act. We won't really see a bump in that program, and that's why, because we are basically taking some enhancement funds that we receive, and we're choosing to obligate those in that way. Let me give you a little example. You guys have probably seen these numbers, but I wanted to go back to the FAST Act. Our funding that we'll receive from the FAST Act for this year was $940 million. It bumps up to $961 million next 2017, $982 million in 2018, $1.005 million in 2019, and $1.029 million in 2020. We're assuming a flat, we haven't gone beyond those 5 years of the act, but we're going to assume that we stay right above that billion mark. So that's going to help us out a little bit. That's about a 10% increase over that five-year life over where we're at right now. Obviously, that funding is going to go right back into maintaining roads and bridges. And as I talked about the bridges especially, that's going to be probably a lot of our focus because we fully expect to see more bridges end up on the listing than the 640 that we have right now. Even as we repair 100 a year, we expect that there will be more than that going on to that list in the future. Any questions? I've got lots of data with me, but it's pretty overwhelming.
You made a statement a while ago about the STIP.
Yes.
Money's being flat now. Those monies, as they are received annually, is that what you're saying? As far as like if the city of Branson and Hollister and Forsyth, and they decide to do something, but we need those are basically used in cost share projects, aren't they?
They are used in it's an 80-20, similar to what we have to do.
Right. But it's
so they do have to come up with the 20% to be able to use the 80%.
Each one of those, because we've had projects that have been a STIP funded by each of those individual cities. Are you telling me that that's going to run flat and not be an increase to each one of them? Is that what you said a while ago? That's what I'm.
Yeah, it gets a little confusing because the program itself is called STP Rule.
And my question is, are they building? Is the dollar amount building as they have so much?
Yes.
Tips,
yes.
Money?
The amount they receive each year, they are able to bankroll that.
And right.
We try to encourage them to use it as quickly as possible. I think we have right now the current rule is that if you've gone more than 6 years, then your money can start dropping off the back end if you aren't using your money. I have not seen us enforce that rule, but we've got like a six-year window that we like to see them spend their money down, and then they can start building that balance back up again, but we encourage them to try to spend it as quickly as they can.
Well, I've got an interesting question for you then.
Okay.
Why can't the STIP, why couldn't the city of Forsyth use their STIP funding for the roundabout, along with the monies that the county would put in if there was a roundabout that could be needed. But that's the reason I said it's always a cost-sharing deal before those funds are available. That's my question.
Okay.
Why couldn't they use that, or are you going to have to come back to me?
I believe that they could use them. I've had other county or other cities look at doing something similar, so I believe we could. I'd have to check and make sure. I do know that the sidewalk project that they're doing out here right now is what they have their current funds obligated to.
Okay.
And I do know they don't receive, I can't tell you how much they receive right now, but it's not very much.
Okay.
That's why we normally see our cities, you know, accumulating for several years, because they don't get very much money
before they
program.
Use it. Okay. That's all I wanted to know, so that I could keep that in mind, because the roundabout is a big need, and it's not, I'm looking for ways to, just as we did in the city of Branson, for those to be funded.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the county's obligation to do state work.
I understand.
But we partner with those. And those comments that I made to you earlier that I brought to you individually is,
yes,
traffic studies as far as accidents, decrease of accidents in areas where we have put dollars in. Those intersections, mm-hmm, of T Highway, the Power Side intersection,
mm-hmm,
the Coon Creek intersection, the 160. I don't think that we had any dollars in the 160 and
don't believe
F.
So.
But there was monies in all these others that I'm commenting on, and I'm wondering, and you told me you'd look for that information.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But I'm wondering how many accidents we've saved. I know it's been tremendous at the Power Side intersection. The improvement we made there has saved lives. I think there's only been, a short term after that, there was only one, mm-hmm, accident there since that was put in. So.
Yeah, and that's what I expect to see. Power Side happened before, you know, obviously before I came over here, but I've heard locals tell me repeatedly that that was an excellent project. And I've seen the impact of Route T, because that happened right after I came over to this area. And, my gut feeling is that's definitely been impactful. But we will definitely check the data and see what we have to show for it.
Right.
Now, you say Coon Creek. Is that something we did in the past, or is that something we're getting ready to do?
No, it's been in the past. Sorry, it's already installed. But
okay.
I mean,
where's it at, then?
Right the other side of Kirbyville. It's this intersection on this side. And there's one on the
76.
Hollister side also.
Okay.
76 and
Concrete.
Yeah,
okay.
And then BB and concrete. Not only anything was really done there, though. It's more on the major change was on the
76.
Yeah.
That was huge.
Yeah, and that's what I always hear, is that was very impactful. So that is the type of thing, as an engineer, that I would like for us to be doing, for us to go back to being able to do. And this funding scenario is just very frustrating for all of us.
If you have the accident data and the public sees that you're spending those dollars and they're saving lives and they're saving accidents, then when we get ready for another project, we can present that as a county to the MoDOT,
mm-hmm,
as a something that needs to be done, because here's what the results are.
Here's the results we get. It sounds like you're traveling down the same path that our director was traveling down, because part of his presentation actually to us was the fact that if you go out and measure the impact to the public, the cost to fix what we need to fix is less than what it's costing the public right now in inconvenience and economic losses and, you know, safety impacts, that type of thing. He said that we need to look at it from a holistic standpoint, and we can show that if we go out there and fix it, it would be cheaper than the actual impact to the public right now economically.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't have any.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
I have next on the agenda Master Gardeners of the Ozarks Letter.
Court orders.
Oh, I'm sorry. Court orders. Court orders.
Morning, gentlemen. This morning I've got two personal property abatements and six real estate refunds. Starting with the personal property refund abatements. Abatement numbers 300108, 300109. Both of these are leased vehicles that were paid by the leasing company, and then
they weren't here.
First one is a leasing company assessed a 2013 VW Jetta in error. The vehicle was actually registered in the state of Arizona. And the second one, the leased vehicle was filed in error.
Those qualify under erroneous assessment, right? Because they were assessed when the people didn't have them.
Yeah, it's a refund, though, because they've already paid it.
Right. Right.
Label it Exhibit A. Today's date, which is the 22nd.
Yes, sir.
Move to approve Exhibit A, dated 2/22/16.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
The next set is real estate paid abatements, which are refunds. Abatement numbers 202225, 202228, 202229, 202230, 202231, 202232.
I was reading through these because you emailed them to us, and there was a couple that said that they weren't, they put down 115 days or something, and they said that they actually rented out more. And is that ringing a bell, Chuck?
There's two of those, Hankins and Shelton, that...
So they're still showing a commercial value, just not as high as 100% commercial, is that right?
Correct.
Wesley, was that 2225 presented to us a couple weeks ago?
It was presented last week. There was nothing done with it, so it was sitting in limbo.
Danny, did you have your question answered as far as legality of sending out a new 2016 letter when it's a 2015 tax?
Yeah, I'm still not going to act upon it. The ones that are... not considered erroneous assessment, that are adjusted, that it is adjustment, just like you said, that they have a business, but the amount changes because of some reason or another. I don't see how that's erroneous assessment. I think that's the only thing that we can do with this, the way that I understood it. I don't have the statute right here with me, but that's for the BOE to make that adjustment. If the opportunity arose for the BOE to hear it.
If it's 215 BO, we won't hear it.
Hmm.
question passing 202225, could you just make a motion to deny it so we can move forward and clean it out of the books? Unless you want somebody to do some more investigation.
I think the concern Danny had last time was the letter. Chuck sent out a new letter. It had the 2016 year on it. So then the question became, legally, can we, I think that was, am I wrong, Danny? That was your question?
Mm-hmm. It was a concern of all of ours.
Did we just forget to send out 2015, Chuck?
No, they had a 2015 that had been sent out. But they didn't reply. They had the opportunity to, so the 2016.
That never happens to us.
Well, I know.
I'm joking.
I know. I'm just saying that it puts us in a strange situation. We're the one that's proven it.
The 16, last time, was the 15 letter went out. The letter that has 16 on the date is a copy. When we sent them a copy of it, after the first of the year, it shows the date that we sent the copy out. But it's all about the 15. It's just a copy of what was sent out in January of 15.
Does that make it any better, John?
No, it's after the date. It's after the first of the year. That's
well, I know it's
the 2016, and it was signed by the individual when it was sent back as a reply. If I remember right, it's April 16th.
May
15th May. Of 2000, or May of 2000, sometime
I mean
in May 15, it was supposed
that's
to be.
What
sent
I
out.
Had 15.
And it's for the amount of business for the year 2016, not 2015, right? So he should have known at the time he filled out the form how much business he did in 2014. Is that what your issue is?
No, not the way I understand it. We sent out a 15 bill, a letter, I should say. He failed to return it. He didn't realize it until after January of 16. So I sent him a copy of that same letter. When it prints, kind of like it does a lot of times down at the bottom or someplace, it shows when it's printed. The date that copy was sent to him printed a January 16 date. I don't see that it makes any difference, but that's what Danny's talking about. Were you not able to find out from legal?
No, it was no, I didn't. I really didn't go.
Well, I don't have a problem with it because we're still dealing with 2015 taxes as opposed to 2016 taxes. But Danny, I don't. If you want to wait on Frank to give an opinion, I don't care.
And you make your motions, and you boys can pass it. I said I just wasn't gonna. I wasn't even gonna hear it on that day, but that's fine. That's the reason there's three of us here. The facts that it was on May that this is sent back. We could approve this during BOE last year, and we would have been fine. May the 15th, I think, was when that you said. I thought it was April.
If not returned prior to May 15th, 2015, we will assume that your condominium is predominantly available for transient nightly rental, and your condominium will be assessed as commercial property.
I hope you understand how I feel about that, Brandon. I mean, but you guys can go ahead and do whatever you said you was comfortable with it. You guys go ahead and do whatever you
want. It's frustrating, Danny. I admit we've been dealing with it for years. In years and years, and it doesn't seem to go away. I don't know how to make it any better, but it does eventually become an erroneous assessment because of if they foolishly didn't return it or didn't receive it, which does happen in some cases with a condo because they don't visit that condo but only 2 weeks out of the year and may not get the information from their managing agent. And then they're stuck with the commercial. But if it's truly not 100% commercial, then it does fall into a technically erroneous assessment. And I hate to do that too.
I think we've all discussed this, and the biggest concern is we're affecting a lot of taxes and different things that's already been set through the schools and the different districts that utilize
personal property and real estate taxes.
Absolutely.
We're not only affecting that, we're affecting Tanya County. As we, these monies, after the date, come out of the collector's fund. Yes, they do if they're not been paid. If they've been paid, they come out of the collector's monies that are refunded.
They come out of each entity that they're paid to.
But there's no, as a whole, they are. But their levy's already been set, and their money amounts have been given. And so the dollar amount is paid from Taney County to those entities. Am I right? And so the dollars come out. She has a certain amount of money that she has available, and after she reaches a certain point, there's no money available. Where do you get that money?
As long as I have delinquent taxes, I'm okay. Because it comes out of the...
Everything that's coming in as it, yeah, as it comes in.
If it's for an entity that doesn't have delinquent taxes, like what you've done, like maybe one on the TIF, you know, I don't have delinquent taxes there, so I have no place to get it from.
Right.
But your school district, as long as you're collecting taxes in that year.
Well, it doesn't affect the county, but then it still affects them.
If I could interject something, it works the same on personal property. Y'all just approved two personal properties. One of them was $200 and some, the other was $300 and some. Both of those were errors by the taxpayer. They reported the vehicle that wasn't right. And when you all approve those corrections, it changes what the entities get. There's two different types, of course, real estate and personal, but the same thing happens in personal as it does real estate. And it affects what the tax entities get. I mean, it's a real problem, I mean, for those entities, because they're losing dollars.
Yeah, but, I think, and I agree with you, Chuck. I think one of the main differences is it's a tangible, this is the car, this is the VIN number, this is the set value. With the condo letters, it's still just a trust. We don't, now some of them, you know, it's, hey, this is this person's permanent address, but we only rented it so many days, we had it available this many days, and I mean, so there's too many different factors that come into it. But you're right, Chuck, it's a similar, we're still doing it, we're still affecting it.
Well, there's no perfect solution. What I'm saying is we had last year, we had gentlemen come before the BOE and said that there was a new law passed when there hadn't been, but there, it eventually was, that there was a percentage to be used if it's commercial or if it's residential. We've already had these discussions over and over again, but the fact is these are coming in with a condo letter saying it isn't being used that way. But it's the same thing if it is being used that way, because you're taking the trust factor of those people telling you that they've not rented that condo except for 40 nights out of the year. It's still a commercial rate for those 40 nights and a residential rate for the different time. But they're supposed to furnish you with some evidence. And that's the big thing, is the evidence. And when they wait and send a condo letter in a year plus later than when they received the notice, Chuck had sent them a notice that they was to send a condo letter or it was going to be assessed at commercial. We assessed it at a commercial rate. So that's where I'm at.
What about talking to our attorneys to see if there's any way we can have a fee for not turning in those letters on time? Because, quite honestly, it doesn't matter whether it's Chuck's office or my office or Sheila's office. Anytime we have to make a change to the tax books, it takes up time. It takes up manpower. And we may be making a $50 adjustment to somebody's tax bill that costs us $100 to get it done. So if there was any way that maybe our attorneys could look to see if there is a fee that we can assess for turning that form in late. And even if we still continue to take them in late, at least we're generating revenue of, say, $10 penalty for turning it in late.
What is it on the March 1st personal property? What's the penalty on that if you don't get it turned in time? Is it $35?
It can be up to $100.
It can be up to $100.
Starts at 20, I believe. Goes up to 100.
So that's worth looking into. That's not a bad idea.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if it's legal or not, but it's worth trying.
If you can do it on personal property, I don't know why you couldn't do it on real estate. Condo letters being turned in.
The statute on personal property tells me exactly.
Right.
But it's, and that's a good idea, I agree, and we can look into that. But that's $20 to $100, and we're talking generally $200 or $300 that
to change
that the lowers the value when right. they get put on commercial or even higher.
But well, it's, but still it's an incentive.
It's a motivator. Yeah, it's an incentive. Absolutely.
Because I don't want to get charged $20 to $100 turning my personal property, and which I need to do, by the way.
And the problem is there's
can
some...
I do that now, Chuck? Can I just tell you, hey, I got a truck and a car. And nothing's changed.
There's some on the that record, too. Neglectful. So but there's a lot of them that they just don't get it or they miss it.
Yeah.
We've had a few calls from people that only found out because their escrows went up. Taxes were paid through their escrow. They get a notice from the mortgage company that your taxes are going up. One of these is that.
Yeah, but I don't think those, I'm speaking for myself, but I think the commission as a whole, I don't think those is what we've had issues with. The condo letters, that's what's really been bothering me, just because I understand getting from your mortgage company, hey, your payment's going to go up this amount, or you need to pay a lump sum of it. I understand that. The condo letter issue is what I think is what drives us nuts.
Well, the one that was delayed.
That was a condo letter.
Is she found out by way of her escrow. It's a condo letter issue.
Then it goes back to what happened earlier with like Sheila's the interest in penalties. Address sent to Florida, so we don't know.
Those are erroneous. Those are errors by us. Those aren't errors by the taxpayer. Those are errors by us. And there's a difference about it. So
actually, she shouldn't be waiting to find out by her escrow that it went up, because she sent a tax statement at the end of October telling me what that tax bill is. And the escrow said they were sent at the same time. So she received a letter in October stating that, plus the condo letter in April or May or whenever it is. This isn't my part, and I feel like I'm speaking out of turn here. I guess I'm going to go ahead and speak, though, but Chuck and I talked, and we'd like to work on the condo letters of making. What we have found out is that when you send something out to a customer, you've got to really make it jump out there and make it bold. And we would like, and Chuck's receptive, but we've talked about it, working on that letter, that when you see it, like where it says, we assume your condo is, if not received prior to this, we assume your condominium is available for night rental, it will be assessed as commercial property. So we'd like to make that jump out and Chuck shut down if you want to.
No, that's fine. Even on the envelope, maybe we need to order envelopes that say something about tax increase possible. I mean, there's different. This is what I was talking about two or three weeks ago, whenever we need to work together and come up with a solution. So I think it's good you guys are working on it. But yeah, no, thank you, Sheila. And that's all I was asking for a month ago. So I think it's good.
So, gentlemen, what do you want to do with these that we have before us?
Again, I don't have a problem with the 2016, like you said, Chuck. We're dealing with 2015 taxes, so I'll label it Exhibit B with today's date. Move to approve Exhibit B, dated 2/22/16.
Is that the tax abatement number 202225?
That's all of them. Yep.
All of them. 25, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Motion carries.
Gentlemen, if I may, I've got two more issues. You want to hear them now?
Okay. Are they ones that you brought forward or what?
One of those that you just voted on, the data was not in there. It's the next to the last one.
22-31, when they entered the information in the abatement, they didn't get it all in there. If you'll see, there's a zero at the end, and I've got that data or information printed out if you want to look at it. It's going to change the value from 26,160, which is the number you see there on your form, to 17,550. And again, it's the same story as the condo. You just voted to approve it, because I didn't speak up because I didn't want to mess up the other one. And I can bring it back to you and whenever we can bring it back.
So we just voted on it and you're wanting to lower it?
Yeah, because the action you took didn't change anything.
Court order wasn't written, right?
You don't have the information in there either, I don't believe that.
Oh, yeah, because it said adjusted zero, so I thought you were in the commercial 26,160. Right. That's what's currently at?
Yeah. So you didn't make any change on that one, and if you want to wait, that's okay.
But I don't care to look at it right now. What do you guys want to do? Go ahead and give it to me if you want to.
Yeah.
Did you have three copies of it?
Yeah, I got it. Okay. Each one has one.
And I got one for the clerk here as well.
I think this is your original. You want this
back? Let me give you this one back.
Wesley, can you give us an abatement number?
I'll be able to give you an abatement number as soon as they put it in. I cannot generate the numbers.
So do we need to wait anyways?
Can we modify
it? I can send you the abatement number as soon as it's we.
If I might, you could use
property number.
Just yep. Or even correct that abatement number with the values.
We can do whatever you want to do. We just need it in a language where we can identify it and correct it what we want.
We have hotel owners coming to us in the future saying, hey, I didn't rent my rooms out. They were available, but we didn't rent them out. So we're not going to get charged for commercial.
Anything's possible. I wouldn't expect that. I am sitting on a task force put together by a realtor or two that has motel owners involved. The main issue is the nightly rentals of homes, vacation homes that are being rented, because for the most part they are not paying anything except for residential rate. But that's another big nut to crack. But there's a group of about 10 people that I get to sit with them on it that's working on that. But I've not had any motel owner.
Do you understand why I'm asking?
Oh, yeah. And that's why we do a percentage to try to make it fair to the commercial people.
I understand that you're changing the value here, not based upon the value of the property, but based upon commercial and residential.
Exactly. It's exactly like the rest of the property.
Question.
Yes.
Do you classification.
We're not changing the values on those condos. We're only changing the assessed value by way of
classification.
32% modification. Yes, sir.
That's the multiplier.
And the reason that we're hearing this is because you didn't get it in with this other.
Well,
they entered it.
It was entered in.
They just didn't get the numbers in the abatement program. I just caught it this morning when I was reviewing.
But the number that is in the other that we approved is already in here, right? Or they approved?
You all approved a number, but it didn't change anything.
This is what you approved to tell us to do nothing, and Chuck caught it, and he's asking you to go ahead and fix it.
No, we don't need a motion other than inserting the values in there. Not anything we need to do other than
that number's already there. It's new values. Residential is going up and commercials is going down. So we.
Your exhibits won't match. In other words, that was exhibit B. So if I go and make changes, the actions would not match your motion for exhibit B because they made a mistake when they wrote the court order.
Couldn't they just make a motion to insert those values?
Could you make a motion to do it separate?
Move to change Chuck, I'm gonna take your new one on property on the parcel number.
Yes, sir.
Where it changes your residential and your commercial. I'm going to change that. I'm going to make that exhibit C. Move to approve exhibit C with dated 2/22 of 16.
I'll second the motion. I don't know that we need to do it that way, but that's the way you want to try to end result. That's fine with me.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
My last one, if you would hear it, is a regular home, and it got reassessed, and the girls either plugged in the wrong number in the Honeycutt system, or they assumed that it was a finished basement and it was not a finished basement. Just a basement, empty basement. The numbers of B3 should have been, but they had like a B7 on it, which made a difference in the value.
So it's an erroneous assessment.
It's erroneous in my opinion. Like I said, it's one of two things happened. They either put in the wrong number.
So it's an error on, it's not a finished basement, and you guys appraised it as if it were a finished basement.
Exactly.
I don't care to hear that. Mike, Danny?
No, I don't care.
If it's an erroneous assessment, I'm fine with it. My question is not whether something's erroneous. It's when you raise and lower values after the books close. That's where I really get into a problem with any of these that we approve.
If you like me to read the number,
do you have any information on
it? I've got copies for all of it.
Yeah, this is it.
You guys want to
label your new 2016 paper, Chuck, with property number of 19-6.0-14-002-015-01.000. We'll leave that exhibit D.
And the bottom line number is 20,260.
Yep.
The old value is 25,060.
Move to approve Exhibit D, dated 2/22 of 16, with a total value of $20,260.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Wesley, I'm going to put these in my book, the two exhibits. You have them.
Thank you.
Do you have anything off this?
Gentlemen, on behalf of those taxpayers, I thank you. They thank you for hearing that.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We have next on the agenda Master Gardeners of the Ozarks letter of permission.
I guess I'll just need to read the letter or sign it or
approve it.
Is nobody here to discuss it?
I don't see anybody here.
What are we on now?
Master Gardeners of the Ozarks Grant Committee. This local Master Gardener group is applying for a 2016 grant from the parent Master Gardener group. One question on the application form asks, is this location publicly owned by city, county, state, or federal? If yes, attach the copy of the letter of permission from the appropriate authority. So because it's owned, we need to give a letter of authorization saying that they can go for that grant. We did it in 2013 for 2014, I believe. Looking at the minutes from that time, it was presented by the presiding commissioner. Commissioner Strahan, you actually moved to approve the letter. I seconded it, and we all three voted on it.
Yes, it's for the use of the property down by the Extension Center. And it was made clear with them, and I hope that there's some documentation referring back to the conversation we had. They are allowed to use that unless there's future construction of a county-owned facility. That's what that property was bought for in the first place, but it hadn't been used for that, so they are using it. And with what they do there, they have to understand that if there's a construction building there, then
right.
So I don't know whether the documentation's in there, but I would like to approve it.
This is so they can go after a grant. It's a 1 year approval.
Yes. I'll make a motion for approval. And let that be entered into the record of the minutes that there has been discussion about the possible construction of it. Why can't I hear? Because I can't hear.
Dan, you're talking about for the approval of the letter of permission
yes.
for Master Gardener?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Agreement for motor and hydraulic oil.
Okay, it's just approval of the contract.
Yeah, I have a letter here from Frank Cotty. And
you've got the contract.
We have it here. We have the contract.
But there was a bid sent out, and this contract is a result of that bid. Motion to approve the agreement for the motor and hydraulic oil with... Do you have the name of Andy?
It'd be Oakland Lubrication.
Oakland Lubrication. All right, that's my motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's see. Drug court letter of support. I've got something to read. Support for the drug court to Honorable Judge Johnson. From the Commission, we applaud the efforts of everyone involved in the Taney County Drug Court Program. Anytime an individual deals with his or her addiction, stops illegal use of drugs, and becomes a productive citizen, Taney County benefits. Thank you for all that you do. Sincerely, signed by Mike Schofield, Danny Strahan, and myself, Brandon Williams. Move to approve the drug court letter of support.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We have bid recommendation for county road signs.
Yes, sir. Good morning, gentlemen. We have two bid recommendations to make this morning. The first one is for county road signs. These are two pretty routine processes that we do every year. First one is 201601-322 for county road signs, as requested by the Road and Bridge Department. I released this bid for publication in the newspaper services and on our website on January the 16th of this year. It closed on February the 16th. And we opened the bids that we received last week here on the 17th. We received responses from four different sign vendors. I try to send these bid invitations out to as many sign vendors as I can, usually 10 or 12. Last year, I think we had 8 responses. This year, we had 4. And Mr. Hayes took possession of copies of all of those bid responses for a full and thorough review. And he has a formal recommendation for award prepared. I think he's given you all copies of it, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Hayes for his recommendation at this time.
After reviewing all the bids, recommend we award primary to Newman Sign Incorporated and a secondary to Vulcan Sign.
Say those again.
Recommending Newman Sign Incorporated as primary vendor for our sign materials and Vulcan Signs as our secondary.
On your bottom right, it says under Vulcan, it says all signs in stock without Taney County Road and printed on the border. Do you?
Under which one now?
Under Vulcan, it says all signs in stock without Taney County Road. Do we normally have that printed on there?
What we put in our bid and have for the last 2-3 years is we've asked all our sign companies to put Taney County on the border of our sign so we can identify when the sign becomes missing or vandalized. And we've also asked this year on the bid we ask the companies which of these signs do they keep in stock and which ones do they have to outsource or make from scratch, basically. You run into a timeline last year with the secondary company that I was recommending in getting our materials. We did give them, but it took them a while.
We discovered the hard way, and rather surprisingly, right. So that some companies don't stock emergency stock standard signs like stop, yield, road closed, water over highway, and that created a problem when we had some flooding, etc. So Randy and I met, and we decided to put it within the bid specs, a requirement that they commit, the vendor responses commit in writing, that they stock certain signs and they can get those delivered to us quickly, quicker than what we've had in the past.
But your primary is showing does not have standard signs in stock, and your secondary is showing that they do have them in stock. That's why I'm wondering.
They do have it in stock within the bid. They marked yes on everything except a couple of signs at
Newman.
Vulcan also put that in there, but in their comments, because they didn't make a template when they make the sign, Newman has their template, has for like our 911 sign. They already have the templates and everything. We've used them a couple of years. Vulcan, we only used 1 year, and they haven't created a template to put that Pink County in there.
But they will.
But they should, yes. Yeah. If they're going to sell us a certain number of signs, which we have a pretty good list that we have to order every year.
But they'll be able to, Vulcan would be able to put.
Vulcan should be able to do the same thing.
And this price that they gave us has them stamping.
They have sold us a sign with our name in the border.
Vulcan has.
Last year. We used them last year.
So why are we not wanting, they're the lower bidder, and they have them in stock. Why are we
time in getting the material. It took a great amount of time and turnaround, and we were spending a lot of time waiting on our sign material.
So they say they got them in stock, but we still had to wait on them.
Right. We work experience with both companies. We've had good results with Newman in the past. We've used them in the past. Last year we used Vulcan, and we didn't award a secondary last year.
You said we did not?
We did not.
No.
So we award a primary and secondary, we're covered?
Right.
Will they accept our secondary? I guess why don't we do the cheaper one as the primary, and if they can't get us their stuff on time, then we go to Newman. Our secondary.
That's the plan.
Well, you guys have it reversed.
I'm looking at the original, and I don't know what you put on your spreadsheet, but they're saying it's stock and all the stuff we needed quickly that Vulcan couldn't produce last year. So, Newman. And they were, I thought they were a little bitter, too.
Vulcan recommended Newman as a primary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But according to your information you've given us, Vulcan's the low bidder, and they have everything in stock.
What did you give? What did you give them?
They're low bidder at the $17,000, but that's because they didn't put in $17,000 worth of. They no bid on two items.
The two items that they no bid, and I did call and talk to them about that on the
post material,
is their supplier would not commit to it. 1 year cost, right. Full 1 year cost. But as far as the post material, I can make a one-time purchase with enough material to last that year also.
But you still have to equate that into the.
I have, with their cost, they can send that to us, and we're still.
Vulcan is lower, according to this right here. Look at the first one. Their price for a sign was $15.46. Vulcan was $6.21. You go all the way down the line, they're cheaper on everything. So I'm trying to understand your...
They are cheaper, but getting the material... It's been a real problem, Mike.
So why don't we give them? Why don't we give them the primary? And if they don't get us the material, then we go to the secondary. Unless there's something wrong with my thinking, I'm not.
Well, there's not. Is there any difference in the sign material as far as the
quality? Once we got it, was good. As far as the material, what we asked for in 911 signs, the 911 signs was the most critical.
I think we could solve this with what Brandon's saying by putting a limit. If you wait on something for a 30-day limit past the time that you...
Well, they say they have it in stock, so...
I know, but they're not delivering. That's what Randy's problem is. I'm trying to fill both of his needs. Randy's saying that he's waiting on the time, and you're saying they're the lowest, which they are. I mean, I see it here, too, but you... you're saying they're the lowest. Let's award it to Vulcan, but let's put a 30-day restriction and then have Newman as order the next load of signs from Newman. Is there anything wrong with that, Randy, or is it?
Well, actually, there's bid specs that allow us to do that. I know in the past I brought that up, and you three would rather have an ironclad commandment for that. But the bid specs that all bidders who respond in writing by their signature agree to is if delivery does not occur within a reasonable time, we are at liberty to use the secondary vendor or the next lowest vendor. It's put in writing in the bid specs. I know before in the past when I've tried to bring that up, I guess we're a little reluctant, want to be even safer and have another layer of protection in that clause by making a motion.
Great. Then also have a secondary vendor that kind of takes care of it as well. Randy, what do you want?
In working with both these companies, I would still prefer Macon Newman, even though they didn't put a bid in. The reason they didn't put a bid in on the post was because their supplier would not commit for a total year on that specific cost.
I understand that, but they're higher on everything. I'm not just looking at those two items. Out of the 50 items glancing at it, they're higher on everything. Mm-hmm. And we have a fiduciary duty to take care of the tax dollars. So I understand you might be able to, you got to deal with somebody you don't want to deal with, but I get to do that every Monday morning with Danny.
It's a joke. I understand, though. It's frustrating to not get your material within a timeline.
We waited a long time on our posts to
Vulcan Sign Company. Getting the proofs alone on the 911 signs took an estimated 2 weeks alone just to get the proof. And that's where they send back the wording of it before they actually make the sign. Then it took a while to get the sign. So we're waiting a long time. Okay. It's too long to have to wait on a legitimate company.
Again, I guess I don't understand why we don't give them the first. And if they don't hold up to their end, then we go to the second. Is that not why we have a secondary?
Timeline, a legitimate timeline. I mean, one company may think a month might be a legitimate timeline. I think it's too long.
Before we award, do you want to contact
them
and say, hey,
this is what we expect? The other they put on there is, in a conference call, we talked to them and Angie and I talked to them. The only signs they kept in stock was stop and yield, is what they told us at that time. But on their bid, they put yes in all their signs. I don't know. It shouldn't take that long to get material. That was a frustration with that company.
I'm just asking questions, Danny.
I know you are, and I think that's a legitimate question. I don't. Let me put it like this. I rarely disagree with Randy on anything that he presents. On this one, I understand that he's very, very, he uses different words than I would use. He's aggravated at the fact that they haven't provided, they haven't done what they said they would do. But I think that we have to take into consideration low cost. And there's considerable low cost. And I think at that point, we can move the level of the contract. And if they don't want to abide by it, Randy, what I would put is, a proof time back and a delivery time. And at that point, they lose the contract. If they don't provide, they lose the contract, and we go with Newman. We can have it wrote up that way in the contract.
I'll agree with that.
So let's make a motion with time frames. If they get the proof back within a reasonable time, and you know what a reasonable time is, and delivery of the material, and contract is void with them if they don't do so. Okay.
So move to award Vulcan Signs as the primary and Newman Signs as the secondary for bid number 201601-322.
Would you add the time restrictions?
Contingent upon acceptance of contract?
Yes.
And then that you can put on your
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, the next one we have is for corrugated steel culverts. It's 201601-2, -323. Again, this is a annual bid that we put out for culverts, as requested to me by the Road and Bridge Department. I released this on our website and in newspaper publications on January the 16th of this year. It closed on February the 16th. We received two responses, which Randy and I opened here last Wednesday on February the 17th. The first response being from Metal Culverts, which was a current supplier. The second response was from Voigt Vibrock and Sons. The first response was for a total amount of $16,081.30. The second response from Vibrock was for $16,088.20, a difference of $6.90.
Wow.
Mr. Hayes took possession of both of those responses to read them very, very closely and review them, and he has a recommendation. I'll turn over to him now.
With both these vendors, we've used them both in the past. They both are great vendors, supply products with no problem, and I'm going to recommend that we award to both vendors. Metal Culverts being number one and Vibrock being number two on our Metal Culverts supply. That way we can utilize either one of them.
As the need arises.
Yep.
Delivery on those is very important, because you got a road opener, you got a culvert that needs to go in. I'm going to make a motion that we accept the road superintendent's recommendation for Metal Culverts as the primary, Vibrock as a secondary.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Branson Landing Zip Line License Renewal Agreement.
Is this the ability to go over our easement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a letter here from our Mr. Cotty, he's approving it, and then I can...
It's just the renewal of what we already have.
And I have a motion I can make on it.
So you have a written motion?
I have one here, yes.
Okay, that's fine.
Move to approve the Branson Landing Zip Line License Renewal Agreement option for a term of 1 year, commencing on January 1st, 2016.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Randy, are you here for those builder agreements?
Yeah, I have field dirt agreements.
Is there anything unusual about either one of these?
No, the first one is the car wash. They're just above our mechanic shop that right there on his back lot. He's the one that Ball brought. He brought in field dirt agreement for right there. And then the other one is on Garrison Cutoff. I've had Brian look at that one to make sure it was doable, that where they wanted and what they wanted there, that it was doable before I sent it over. So,
Danny, you know about these?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, are we still dumping anything, any fill at our shop, which is one driveway down, and I just...
No, I'm trying not to put any more there unless it's reusable, good, clean,
okay,
topsoil type stuff. It's the only thing I try to bring in there.
All right. I just didn't want to approve something and have somebody complaining if we were dumping right next door to them. So, motion for approval of the field dirt agreement with William Valbrock, and motion to approve field dirt agreement with Melissa Getz.
Is that all one motion?
Yes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Agreement to assign and delegation of contract rights and duties, virtual management concepts to Stewart Consulting.
Well, this is a new one on me.
Is anybody here?
I don't know anything about it, except for I do know that they are our new consultant as far as Sage goes.
That's who took over for
Sharon Silent.
Sharon Silent.
And I don't know what.
I have a letter here from Mr. Cotty.
I thought we already signed everything over. Did it? We had to do the contract.
We'll have some things coming up real quick because I've been visiting with them about.
It wasn't just a name change?
I think it was. No, it wasn't a name change. So I think we have to do a. Is it a sole source?
Yeah, it's a sole source virtual.
Well, but we had to move it over. That's probably what it is. Sole source to move it over to.
And I do have some information that would justify and verify that it is a sole source.
Does it read that that's what we're approving today? Because it doesn't have on there. Are we approving a sole source to this company?
Assigning and delegating it.
It was right.
Okay, but I don't know what we're doing with this. It's brand new to me.
Yeah, the. All the rights and obligations of the original agreement remain the same, and the existing contract does not prohibit assignment. So we're just assigning it over.
Yeah, and that's just the motion need to do.
Move to approve the agreement to assignment and delegation of contract rights and duties with virtual management concepts to Stewart Consulting Incorporated.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Audit entrance conference with KPM CPAs.
Good morning there, young man.
Good morning.
I tell you what, it's not hard. We're just about to get out of morning here.
Yeah. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Andy Marmage. I'm with KPM CPAs, and this is the entrance conference. I have to let the commission know that we have started the audit process to remind the commission what it is we're here to audit, and to see if the commission has any concerns that they would like for us to take a look at. We're here to audit the county's financial statements. We're here to see if the county has fairly presented its financial statements in accordance with the cash basis of the county. We're also here to audit compliance with the county's major federal grant programs. And if during any one of those audits we note any material weaknesses in the internal controls of the county, we will bring that to the attention of the commission. We're also required to bring to your attention if we noted any non-compliance with any laws, regulations, contracts, or grants that has a direct material effect on your financial statements or your compliance with your major federal grant programs. The commission can meet with me in closed session. I can also meet with each of you individually if you would like to discuss any concerns that you have. But with that, I will turn it over to the commission to see if you have any concerns, anything that you would like to bring up to us that you would like for us to look at during the audit.
Not anything other than what you would ordinarily do. I mean, I think you do a great job, and you usually interview us individually before we come back, and at that point, if we have anything, we can bring it to you.
We would like to interview at least one of you. But we can interview all three of you or meet with you, each of you, privately. So just let me know.
which one of you is available to be interviewed, and if more than one would like that, they'll just let us know.
Yeah, that's fine. That's why you've done it in the past.
Yeah.
All right. Are you going to be around for a little while, or are you pretty much headed out soon?
Yeah, we started the audit last week, but we'll be here. I mean,
you personally today, are you going to be around
yes.
for a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll be here all day.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I need a 5-minute recess.
bodyguard left.
Okay, we'll come out of recess, 11:02 a.m. And we have, it's like the City of Rockaway Beach Regional
Wastewater
Treatment Facility Improvement Project.
Okay. The City of Rockaway Beach is requesting the approval of a funding agreement that will provide funding for upgrades and improvements to be made to the Regional Wastewater Treatment Facility. The amount being requested through this funding agreement is $95,000. This amount is based on equipment and labor cost information provided by Burt Bond, owner of Clean Streams Incorporated, contract plant operator for the city. The city is requesting that the funding agreement remain active until December 31, 2016, to allow sufficient time to order materials and the improvements to be made, as well as time to receive board and commission approvals. This project will provide for the upgrade of the UV disinfection unit and facility flow metering equipment. The existing equipment is unreliable and ineffective in its intended use. Improvement to the UV disinfection system will provide for a higher degree of disinfection of the facility's wastewater discharge. The installation of the new flow metering equipment will improve the efficiency of the facility operations and provide accurate flow measurement for billing purposes. The City of Rockaway Beach's Board of Aldermen approved the funding agreement on February 8, 2016. Three copies of this funding agreement were sent to the county attorney, who has approved each copy as to form. Included with this staff report is a copy of the request letter submitted by the city, along with the information provided by Mr. Bond outlining the project cost. Mr. Larry Jones, City Clerk of Rockaway Beach, is here with me today. This equipment basically is some of the original equipment that was with the facility. It's been upgraded over the years, but the hydrogen sulfide and just the gases and the environment of just being in the wastewater environment itself, it just degraded the equipment and basically affected it quite a bit, to where the UV system, in order to rebuild it, it was going to cost close to what this amount being requested is. It itself was like $70,000, and it was questionable whether they could even still find parts to rebuild the existing equipment that's there now. So this will be a significant improvement to the treatment facility when they get that replaced, for sure.
I've got a couple of questions for you. In the first place, as we visited, and I'm in total agreement with approving what you have presented here, but I want to know what equipment needs to be used to get rid of the main problem of odor down there. And I understand that the UV equipment is not used to do exactly that, and I'm wanting to either have the City of Rockaway Beach or someone to request what is needed from this county commission to take care of that problem. These things are fine. The two things that you've asked are fine. There's other things that are in desperate need in emergency situation to be requested so that we can get that odor problem fixed. I know you came before the Sewer District, and we visited about that. I'm in total favor of approving this, because these things are things that'll improve your system in the future. I'm wanting to get something right now that will improve the odor problem. Now, I know that the city has available, and I believe you said $80,000 in their reserve fund. What needs to happen there? And I'm not the expert in this field, but I understand if you've got a major problem like this, you need to take and have trucks come in. And I know you give an example of 10 trucks coming in and taking the sludge to another location. I think it went to the burner, the sludge burner. But that's what will have to happen here so that you can get in and work on this major odor problem is get rid of that sludge, and then I want the improvements that we, if it's something else we need to approve, I want to get it approved by this county commission so that the city of Rockaway, who I feel like this is up on their shoulders to get this fixed, has all available resources to get this problem fixed. And that's where I think this county commission has responsibility, and I believe these two gentlemen are on board with me. We've had no discussion whatsoever about it other than we want this to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make a motion that we approve what you requested, but I want to know if there's other things that we need to get on. If it's next week, I'd like for it to have been today. Mm-hmm. If there's other things that we need to have us be responsible for those dollars, that we get it as quickly as possible. And a week of smelling sewer is too long for me if it's that strong.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to do.
Yeah, there's one of the main things down at the treatment plant is that there was a blower down, and the blower supplies oxygen to the mixing basin. And there's two blowers. There's one blower dedicated to the north side, one blower dedicated to the south side basin. And then there's one there that's typically for redundancy, but it takes two blowers to marginally provide enough air for that plant to operate properly. That one blower was down. I had had several conversations with the operator, you know, why is it not being replaced? And he had possession of it, why it took him so long. He's not here today to answer that question. But once they finally got the blower installed, and I was down there last Thursday.
February 11th, it went in.
Yeah. You know, you could tell a difference in the plant. I mean, it was starting to come back. It's got a long ways to go, but the odor was significantly better than what it had been in, for quite some time. So I think he's on the right direction there. This next agreement that we're going to present is for the engineering evaluation to try to determine what the deficiencies are in that plant, because I think there's a big deficiency in the air system that was designed for that plant. I don't think it, you've got to have the two blowers running to marginally provide enough air to keep the plant from going septic. And I think that that's one of the things we're going to find out, is that the air system that's there now is having difficulty. So when you have one blower go down, you're really behind the eight ball. And it's important to get that blower back up and get it reinstalled. Now, he took the one blower, from what I understand, and he's having it rebuilt. And so he'll have a spare down there in case this should happen again. But do you have any knowledge of?
Well, I just to state in generalities, gentlemen, that it's the city of Rockaway Beach's highest priority to make the necessary corrections in the plant so that it's operational, it's efficient, and meets the needs of the users, and is not an impact on the community. It's our absolute highest priority.
But you cannot do that unless you have the resources to do so. And that's what this county commission is here today to do for you, or the city of Rockaway Beach, is to provide those resources so that we can get this problem solved. Now, you know, I think engineers are great. And you're going to have an engineering study, if we approve this, that's going to find out how it can be in the future done better and how it can serve in the future. Right now we have a problem that I don't want it to be considerably better. I don't want it to be half better percentage-wise. I want it fixed. Mm-hmm. And we want to provide enough resources for you in the blowers. If you've got two blowers and one of them's all that's in operation now or whatever, or if it's not the blowers, if it's other things, I want those things fixed. And I want you to present to this county commission, because that's what those tax dollars are for, and that 8-cent sales tax that we issue out to different entities needs to be used in an emergency situation like this, and so that we can get this straightened out. And I know these two gentlemen well enough to know that they're looking along the same lines that I am to get this problem solved now, and then we can have an engineering study to see how we can improve the plant. But the plant has worked fine in the past, and we want to get it back to that scale now.
We have our monthly SUCS meeting, which is the advisory group for the operators and contributors to the plant, Wednesday at 1 o'clock.
So that'd be a good opportunity for us to do a laundry list, if we need to do a laundry list and bring it back to you. But once we get a laundry list together, I'll confer with you first before we bring it back. Again, you know, this is our highest priority, get this fixed. I'm not a technical person. My background is in city managerial positions in Oklahoma. And, you know, from an administrative standpoint, that's what we want to do. We need help from the technical people in formulating a list. And I appreciate you gentlemen, you know, offering to help us fund it, using your funds as well as funds that we have in the system.
I would like for you to consider using your funds to eliminate the sludge and everything in that area. If you need to take that out of there, use your funds to do that so that the operation, that has to be done before there can be improvements made to the plant. Can't just leave it set there and have us over and over again have all the odor that's being caused from that. I understand at one time, and I think it may have been you or may have been John that said to the sewer district that there was 10 trucks that rolled out of there during one stretch. And so that in itself is what needs to be done to help contain mm-hmm. this odor problem. So I'd like for you to use your funds to your, the best of your discretion to get that down, because that's going to have to be done anyway. When we start repairing, you're going to have that stuff out of there. And that's what I'd like for you to try to convince your board to do.
Well, that's fine, and we'll look at that with the SUCS committee advisory group. And if necessary, I can take it at any time to the Rockaway Beach mayor and all of them. We have a special meeting. That's what's necessary. Don't need to wait a month. Again, you know, I'm not a technical person, but from an administrative standpoint, I'm here to help get it solved as soon as possible using our existing resources.
Is that the best acronym you guys could come up with?
I didn't come up with it.
I wasn't in support of it, but I was outvoted. So.
It was there already.
You can just call it.
Just saying. I don't want to come up with
on the shoulders of this county commission that there's anything that keeps that problem from being solved.
Well, the one
that...
I've been approached from a few citizens, and so I know there's an issue. And I agree with Danny. We need to figure it out. But we got to do the right steps towards... I mean, I understand your role. So, mm-hmm. Danny, did you make motions?
I make a motion to approve...
kind of.
First one on is the City of Rockaway Beach Regional WWTF Improvement Project.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Now, the evaluation study, we don't even need to talk to these gentlemen because they're going to be taking care of it for you, but do you have a contract for them? Because everybody on the sewer district thought that this evaluation had already been done.
No.
And they had, well, I know, but I,
yeah, I'm with you.
Just saying
that come up.
I'm saying that all the sewer district members, somehow we got miscommunicated.
It was on schedule, but Rockaway, they went through the transition of administration, and it never got signed and back to the county to get to you gentlemen.
I have a contract here for the Rockaway Beach Regional Wastewater Treatment Facility Engineering Evaluation Study Project.
With TOTE?
TOTE, uh-huh.
With TOTE Engineering?
Yes, sir.
Right.
How do you spell that one? T-O-T-H.
And those gentlemen are here if you have questions.
Yes. And I know them through the sewer district, so well qualified to get that done for us. And put a fire in the old coal to get her done, because that's what we're needing here. It's a different situation than what we went on the other projects. Brandon, you want to make that motion, or you want me to here?
You're pretty passionate about it. I'll let you do it.
Yeah, really professional, I know.
No,
as long as the job gets done.
I said passionate. I didn't.
As long as the job gets done, we don't care how it's stated. But I will make a motion to approve the City of Rockaway Beach Regional WWTF Engineering Evaluation Study Project with TOTH Engineering.
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I'm sorry about the lecture, but I think I have to provide it to...
That's fine. And I want you to know that we're committed to handle it, working with y'all and the sewer district board to get it handled.
We got a good access door up there.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
We're going to be in recess, and we're scheduled